Very warm welcome both to regulars and newcomers. My name is Simon Dowdy and I'm the vicar here at St. Botolph's Aldersgate. It's very good to have you with us. Today is a slightly unusual day in that once a year we have what we call our annual Vision Day, when we remind each other of the vision of the Aldersgate talks here. So it's not a normal Tuesday lunchtime in that sense. It's also our Families Day. Once a term we have a Families Day when we encourage spouses who are able to come along and join us. So if you are visiting as a spouse today, then you are particularly welcome, and I hope that this lunchtime will encourage you in the thought that your spouse in turn is involved in these talks through the week. Now, our format is that I'm going to pray in just a minute, and then I'm going to read a Bible passage. Philip is then going to give a short talk, just introducing us to the Aldersgate talks and what our vision is here as a Christian ministry in the heart of the city. And then we're going to have a couple of interviews, and we're going to think about how two people in particular have really been impacted and helped by the Aldersgate talks over the last few years or so. We're then going to hear about our finances. So this is the main opportunity in the year, I guess, for people to hear about finances. There'll be an opportunity for questions and then to pray as we close. But why don't I pray and commit our time, and then we'll look at the Bible together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for these talks through the week, which you have established. And we pray that you'd help us to make the most of our time together at this lunchtime. Please would you deepen our shared vision for the work of the gospel in this part of the city, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So please will you turn then in the Church Bible to page 1218 to 1 Peter. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 to chapter 2 verse 3, page 1218. And then Philip will come and speak. So then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Philip.
Thank you very much, Simon. And can I add my welcome? If you'd like to keep that passage open, that would be a real help. And if you've lost the place, we're on page 1218. Well, today, as Simon said, is a little bit different, as we have this vision lunch. And we do that once a year so that we can think about the vision that we have here for these talks. If you like, why we exist, and think about the future, things that are coming up. Well, life is busy, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but I feel as if I've properly come out of Christmas hibernation now. And work is getting busier, isn't it? I'm sure for lots of you, busier and busier as you get deeper into the year. We seem, don't we, to be busier than ever. Here's what John Maynard Keynes said. He said in 1920 that our grandchildren would work about 3 hours a day and probably only by choice. Well, he didn't get that quite right, did he? Because it's not quite like that, is it? So if we think about changes throughout history, in the pre-industrial age, the workplace was the home. Then in the industrial age, it's separate from the home. And now, in the post-industrial age, there is increasing blurring between what is home and what is work. Then in the pre-industrial age, time was divided into days. Then in the industrial age, into hours. And now in the post-industrial age, into minutes. As you sit there, so especially some of you lawyers, and you click on your time tracker and you bill people by the minute. And we're always in a hurry, aren't we? Constantly hurrying from here to there, tutting on the tube if we see that sign or hear those words that they are pausing the service in order to regulate the service, whatever that means. Cyclists rushing around, maybe some of you do that, as if it is the Tour de France on your way, trying to beat the traffic, always busy. And we try to be efficient, we try to be productive, don't we? Gulping lunch in efficient ergonomic chairs, using efficient forms of communication, emails fill your inbox, and BlackBerry's chirp. But the work, it seems, is never ever done. We only have so much mental bandwidth to take everything in. We use task lists, we use management tools to make life easier. But we're busy. And then we add in home life. Do the washing, do the Tesco order, pick up the kids, pick up the dry cleaning, get the car fixed, catch up with friends, go to the gym, see the family. Busy, 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 busy. And when life is so busy, what do we most need? And what do your colleagues most need when they're busy, just as busy as you are? Because they're crazy busy too, aren't they? Well, maybe it's better management tools. Maybe it's that. Or maybe it's some kind of New Year's resolution to cut a few things out of the diary. Maybe. But actually, our passage has a very different and, I think, surprising answer. And it is this: we need words. That's what we need. We need words. But what words? Well, it's not a pep talk. It's not the latest best-selling kind of management guru book on how to manage our time. Words from God. Because these words, the words in this book, in the Bible, they're not just words that help me manage life. They give life. True life, spiritual life. And all the way through our lives, if we're Jesus followers. First of all, then, you'll see the first point there on the sheet. Beginning life. Beginning life. Take a look at 1 Peter 1 and starting at verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. It's as if we're in the maternity ward, and this is how spiritual babies are born. This is how you were born. You were born again, he's saying, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus. And what was it that did it? Well, words did it. God's words, they did it. And the word is described as imperishable, living and abiding. And of course it has to be, because dead words, they don't give life, do they? Perishable words, they wither and die, like your Christmas tree. Maybe it was only a couple of days in and the needles, if you had a Christmas tree, were already falling off. And way back now, or sort of a couple of weeks ago now, you put it out for the bin men to collect, dead, withered. Or maybe those Christmas plants, poinsettias. I don't know if you ever had one of those. In my house, if I ever buy them, they don't last longer than about 5 days or a week, and they die. Imperishable words, though, these words are different. They are living and abiding. And they make babies. They make people, living people. That's how we all started out. That's how we all started out if we're followers of Jesus Christ. We heard the Bible read and explained, or maybe we read it for ourselves, and we became alive, truly alive. So the Bible, it isn't a dead or a dusty book. It's alive. It gives life. And I know many of you know that. But I need to remind myself, I find, so often, because I forget it. So what do our busy colleagues need most? Well, they're dead now, aren't they, without Jesus' words? And there are lots of other words that fill our inboxes, fill the airwaves, that don't give life. But these, they do. they give life. Now, I've made a bit of a New Year's resolution that I think I should read a few more books this year and maybe watch a little bit less on Netflix. But life-giving words, they're not on the bookshelf in Waterstones, are they? Not usually, anyway. They're not in the Metro, they're not on the BBC website, they're not on Facebook, they're not on the agenda at work, they're not on the agenda most of the time in Parliament or the UN. Not normally, anyway. But God's words, well, they give life. They are totally different. And also, verse 25, these words are good news. They're life-changing words. They're destiny-changing words. This is the best news that you can hear a couple of weeks after Blue Monday. And that's why we run these talks. I wonder if you ever wondered why it is that we run these talks. Well, this is why. So that colleagues can hear Jesus' words, maybe for the first time. Now, there are lots of things that Sunday churches do that are good things, but things that we don't do here. So you might have noticed we don't tend to sing or have communion or run marriage courses or things like that that you might expect to find in a normal Sunday church. But the one thing we must do here, above all else, is teach Jesus' words. Because that is the only way that people can be truly alive. That's also why we run Christianity Explored here. That's why we're so encouraged when some of you in your firms, as I know you have, run Christianity Explored as well, so that people can read Jesus' words for themselves. And that's why we try as much as is possible to make our talks accessible for anyone at any stage. That's why we're encouraged when many of you, and as I know you do, try to speak of Jesus in your offices as you have opportunity. And that's why in March we're going to have this series, which you may have heard about, called Big Questions, as we look at three of the big questions that people are asking, that we know various people in the city are asking about Christianity. That is how we begin life. But secondly, it is also how we grow up. Take a look at chapter 2, just over there, just a few verses down. And look there at verse 2. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now that word that is says spiritual milk, is logikon in Greek. And that means wordy. It's a bit hard to translate. But this is the milk. It is the word. It is the same stuff that it's been talking about earlier on in the passage. He's talking about the same thing. Words that give life, but also grow life. It's how, if you like, we grow up in life as Christians. And so the picture has slightly shifted. We've moved out of the delivery room, and now we're in the nursery. And I'm not sure if you've got much experience with babies. Maybe some of you have close at hand. But when they cry, most of the time, it's because they want food, isn't it? They crave it. They long for it. Well, that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be like that. Because the way in the Christian life is the way on in the Christian life. It's the way we start is how we go on. We need these words more than ever. We need to feed on them to grow up to maturity. Now, I don't know what your lunchtime habits are. Maybe you dine al desco rather than al fresco. Maybe you dine out in the evenings a lot, or maybe you're kind of more microwave meal in the evenings. I don't know what your eating habits are. But the food that we really need is God's words. That's what we really need. It's the meal that he dishes up. That is the only spiritual meal that we will get. It's the only way to get your spiritual five a day, if you like, is to feed on these words. Because they're living and they're abiding. And they point us to our heavenly hope. They point us to our imperishable inheritance with Jesus, through his imperishable blood. They point us to the gospel, and they motivate us to live for him. This is the good news that we heard, that was preached to us, that we've trusted in if we're believers. And that is also why we run these talks, so that we can hear Jesus' words. And again, there are many things that we could do here that also good things, that lots of good things that Sunday churches do. But the one thing that we must do here is to teach Jesus' words, because that is how we grow up. That is how we become mature. And there is nothing better, and there's nothing extra either. This is the Michelin 3-star spiritual meal. This is it. This is it. And that's also why we're behind lots of the Christian groups in your firms that I know many of you are part of. As you meet to look at the Bible, look at these words and feed on them together. That's why we try always to apply the Bible in our talks here to people who are already believers. Sometimes, occasionally, people say, well, I'll only come if I've got someone to invite, bring along on a Tuesday lunchtime. But actually, we all need to feed for ourselves if we're believers. We need to do that to be mature. Now, we know we don't get everything right, so we'd love your feedback. So please do give us feedback if you have feedback to give. It helps us. But that is what we do here. That is the core of what we're about. It's also why we run partnership groups. Now, some of you may not know this. We run little small groups that I know some of you are part of to look at the Bible together over a lunchtime or early in the morning over breakfast. And we know that not everyone can meet in those weekly groups. So we're planning in the future to start groups that meet less frequently in a more manageable way for a lot of people. So meeting monthly or every other week, only in term time, or even just 3 times a term. And we think they're a great way of looking at God's word together and encouraging one another, and also being side to side in the ups and downs of working life. So have a think about that. If that's something you'd like to know more about, please do ask any of us. But most of all, we want you to encourage you to keep coming on Tuesdays. Keep coming to these talks on Tuesday lunchtimes. Tuesdays are the main thing that we do here. And we're hugely encouraged that so many of you do come and are stuck in here and talk to one another afterwards over lunch and chew these things over, this spiritual food of God's word. But we thought it would be good, though, to hear from two people who can talk a bit about how their experience of this has been. And so I'm going to invite Chris up, and Chris is going to, I'm going to interview him. And then Claire is going to come up and speak to Lizette, and Lizette's going to answer a few questions. So, Chris, tell us who you are and where you work.
So, Chris Sharp, and I work at a law firm called Stone King, and we specialise in advice to schools and charities.
Great. And tell us how long you've been coming to these talks?
I think about 6 months or so. Is that about right, Pat? Yeah, great.
And how have these talks helped you?
Well, a few things. So, first, I still find that my work life and my home life is quite separate. And so it's kind of easy to, you know, I've got my church at home. It's easy to be a Christian at home, well, sometimes anyway. And then at work, it's quite separate, and it's easy to forget about God. You know, you're so busy, as you've been saying, and to have that reminder when I'm at work and to receive this spiritual food is invaluable, to know that, you know, God is in control, that he is Lord at when I'm at work as well as when I'm at home. I also find, because, I mean, as I'm sure you all know, work is very hard a lot of the time. And so to come along and hear the Bible preached and to have it applied to my life really lifts my soul, and, you know, to know that to know God's grace, his love, and again that he is in control, even when, you know, work is going terribly wrong. And then also, in terms of thinking of colleagues, you know, we spend so much of our time at work, and a lot of them don't know Jesus. They have a horrible, horrible future ahead of them. And so I have a sort of burden to tell them about Jesus, but without a church to be able to bring them along to, or without something else to say, you know, come and hear this great talk, it's very difficult to do that on your own. So to be able to tell somebody the gospel and then say, well, why don't you just come down the road and listen to somebody else explain it much better than I can, or you know, come and hear the real meaning of Christmas or Easter. It's exactly what...
Great, well, Lizette is just coming up to join me. She and I met first time a number of years ago in a really random way on a tube train, but I'll tell you that story later if you ask me. But Lizette's been around here at working at Schroeder's just up the road for quite a long time, and I think you first came along here about 11 years ago. Tell us what brought you here and what happened.
I was a bit of a feisty non-Christian, and I like to argue. But I fancied a boy that was Christian, and he wouldn't go out with me because he wanted a Christian wife. And I thought that was ridiculous. So when a friend mentioned these talks and that they run the Christianity Explore course, I come along and fight so that I could understand what he believed, so that I could argue him out of his faith. And God, in his mercy, had very different plans. The staff here just spent a lot of time with me, a good 9 months. We did the Christianity Explore course, and then we carried on meeting and studying the Bible together. And through the Word and through their hard work, finally I gave my life to Jesus. And incidentally married the bloke and had two kids, and he sat there.
So fast forward to now, and you've got two little boys at home, you've been on maternity leave and come back, and then maternity leave again and come back. How does it help you now in your life working part-time in the city? How does it help you being involved in the talks here?
I think practically for me, it's about Sundays just doesn't work much for me anymore. I'm in creche, I'm running after toddlers. This is where I get my feeding. It's a lot of where I get my Christian family and fellowship and my teaching. But also, as the chap said earlier, it's about inviting colleagues and having being equipped and given the confidence to go and speak to people about Jesus. I've been able to run Christianity Explore courses at home with other mums and helped at the ones in my firm as well. It's good to know you've got Christian friends in the workplace and just around the corner here.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is David Durlacher. I work in a bank just across the road. As Philip was saying, like most of us, I'm familiar with busyness. And busyness, therefore, often means that we crowd out time to think about finances, think about giving. But it is not actually a subject that we tend to raise here regularly. As Philip said at the beginning, or Simon said at the beginning, we tend to only talk about finances once a year. It's not because they're unimportant, far from it. Finance is critically important. Without it, this ministry wouldn't be able to continue. We don't talk about it a lot because of our conviction that people should give, not because of a feeling of obligation or a feeling of guilt, but because of an enthusiasm, a generosity that comes from partnership. So what is our financial position like? You have been given, I think, as you came in, one of these handouts. The handout contains a few different pieces of paper, one of which is the electoral roll form. That is if you're not a regular here, but that is next to another attachment that has got a couple of pie charts. The pie charts show a little bit of our giving as well as our expenses for this year. And our expected expenditure this year is just over £140,000. It sounds a lot, but the majority of that is spent on staff costs. We have a small amount that is spent on the building and other related costs, and an even smaller amount that is a contribution that is made to the Church of England, because this ministry comes under the Church of England. Our giving is split, as you can see at the top, into three main parts. The largest component of that is the generosity of people here. And on behalf of the team, I want to say thank you to those who do give. It is hugely appreciated, and we recognise that a large majority of people are giving. Whether it is a small amount or a large amount, it is vastly appreciated. That percentage of giving, however, has decreased. We have been fortunate that the gap has been partially closed by income that we have received out of renting out this building. So it is not used at weekends by the ministry here, so we are able to let another church use it. We're also able to open up the church for access to others, and we receive some income there. But that is a marked change from where we were a few years ago. And my encouragement, please, would be if you are not a giver already to the ministry and you will consider yourself a regular, to consider starting to give financially to the ministry. If you want to know how to do that, there are details on the form, and please do ask me at the end. If you're already giving, please do review your giving. We do understand that giving can go down as well as up, and rather like those adverts, we do understand the pressures that people are under. We don't seek to compete with weekend churches or other commitments that you have. We should give out of generosity, not obligation. But there is, as you can see from that top pie chart, an income shortfall. We have a gap this year that's projected of around £5,000. And so our prayer is that people would, out of generosity, consider helping us to close that gap. I think that is all from my side. Please do grab me afterwards if you want to have a conversation, or there are more details also on this form if you want to take it away. I'm generally around on Tuesday lunchtime, so I'm more than happy to answer any questions you may have then.
David, thanks very much indeed. It may just be worth explaining that the Moorgate talks, which are mentioned there on that finance update, the Moorgate talks are a very similar ministry to this, which are run under the umbrella of St Botolph's, but obviously in the Moorgate area. We don't have our own building. We use a sort of nightclub venue, which is better than it sounds. Actually, it's a great venue in lots of ways. The reason they contribute towards the costs is because the Moorgate talks are run under the umbrella of St Botolph's. Both Philip and Claire are involved in helping to run the Moorgate Talks as well. So the Moorgate Talks reimburse us for their share, if you like, of Philip and Claire's costs, which is half of their costs. So that might just explain that. But do ask David any further questions. Now, it's time we wrapped up. Can I just say one more practical thing? And you'll also have received in your pack details about the electoral roll. Let me just say a couple of things about that. We'd love you to join the electoral roll if you have been coming at all regularly for 6 months. It is the Church of England's way, really, of registering those who are involved with and committed to a particular local church. It is not a sort of formal membership system in the same way in which those of us who are involved in independent free churches at home might be familiar with. So we want to encourage people to join the electoral roll for three reasons, and you'll see on the back of the form I've put those there. First of all, in terms of the rights that you then have to vote people onto the church council. Secondly, in terms of the responsibility, you're saying that you are very much a sort of partner with us in the work of the gospel here. But I think probably most important is in terms of representation, and it increases the size of our church. St Botolph's on various Church of England committees in the Diocese of London. And obviously the more like-minded evangelical churches which are represented in the Church of England more widely, then that is only a good thing. You're entitled to join the electoral roll if you've been baptised, not necessarily in the Church of England, if you've been attending here regularly for at least 6 months, and if you're not already on the electoral roll of another Church of England church in the square mile, but you can be on the electoral roll of another Church of England church beyond the square mile. You may well have questions, in which case do please speak to me or Philip or Claire afterwards. We tend to have a little push like this on the electoral roll just once a year. If you haven't joined, can I encourage you not to take the form away with you, but instead to fill out the form today and give it in to someone today? Because if you're anything like me, if you take it away with you, then it probably won't quite get back here on its own accord. So I encourage you to do that today. We'll have forms available next week as well, if you just want to go away and think about it. Now, there are one or two notices as well on the notice sheet that you've given as you came in. The City Weekend Away is still open for bookings, and a reminder as well of the monthly prayer meeting on Friday. Well, why don't I pray? And then, obviously, do please hang around for as long as you are able to. Do talk to David if you want to know more about finances, or talk to myself or Philip or Claire if you have questions, or any of the other regulars. But why don't I pray for now? Let's pray together. The word of the Lord stands forever. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your sure and certain word, conscious of how cultures and societies change, and yet your word remains firm and certain. And we praise you therefore, Heavenly Father, for the way in which you have established this ministry here, and we continue to pray, please, that your word might be proclaimed here on Tuesdays and through the week faithfully and clearly, and that you'd be pleased to continue to do what you have already been doing, bringing people to new spiritual birth to put their trust in the Lord Jesus, and building up those who already know him and belong to him. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen.